Have you recently lived through a hurricane, a tornado, a flood, or a fire? You may be interested to know that there's a chance that FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, could run out of disaster relief money next week. The federal government could shut down next month because of a dispute in Congress. Sound familiar? Shades of the fight over the debt ceiling and airport funding. But last night, Tea Party Republicans and Democrats unexpectedly joined forces to kill a bill to fund the federal government through mid-November. Tea Partiers angry that there weren't enough cuts to offset increases in spending, including FEMA funds. Democrats angry that a suggested cut was a program to improve fuel efficiency in cars. Gail Chadwick is congressional correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Gail, you and others are writing how this was such a big surprise, but last week the Senate blocked emergency funding before they ultimately passed it. This was for FEMA. And Republican leader Eric Cantor said after his state had an earthquake that there can't be an increase in emergency funds without cuts. So why was this such a big surprise?
Well, we expected the big fight to come between the House and the Senate, where, as you say, there was enormous differences. But the conventional wisdom is you don't bring something to the floor unless you know you have the votes for it. And earlier in the week, Democrats were supportive of this bill. You knew that there was going to be some problem on the conservative side, but with all those Democrats, it really didn't look like a problem. I was confidently writing my story along those lines when I suddenly looked down, saw the vote, and rushed to the House and got an earful.
Why? Did they not know about this cut in the program to improve fuel efficiency?
They had known about it, but a matter of hours, actually, opposition grew in Democratic ranks. They had a caucus meeting on Wednesday, and it just exploded. And at that point, the leaders who had agreed to support it told me that they really had second thoughts when they saw that their caucus, opposition in the caucus, had grown so dramatically.
Well, and yet there are questions about House Speaker John Boehner. Some Republicans, mumbling, "Hey, we should never have brought a vote if you hadn't whipped it into shape, if you didn't know before it got to the floor what vote you had." What do you think about that criticism of the House Speaker?
I think it's premature. If you look at the series of hurdles he's already leaped over, so many Republicans having campaigned to cut $100 billion out of the current fiscal year, and in the end, as Boehner said, letting the House work its will, looking as if he wasn't holding his caucus together, when we asked him, he would repeatedly say, "I don't intend to hold them together," and even though it looks like there are setbacks, in the end, he gets pretty much what he wants. I think before we judge that any loss means that the Speaker is, perish the thought, out of control, maybe this idea of letting this very fractious caucus, work its will, have these defeats, see the response from their constituents and the public, and then regroup and vote a different way. It has worked so far.
Well, yeah, he has gotten his way in a lot of these votes, but this underscores that he needs Democrats to get bills passed. He didn't get them last night, and that the Republican opposition is to emergency spending. The fact that there weren't enough cuts to raise the FEMA spending. Emergency relief has never been treated as a regular budget item, and there are a lot of Republicans upset about this. You've got Governor Chris Christie in flood-ravaged New Jersey, who criticized his fellow Republican lawmakers who would hold up emergency relief until spending cuts are found. How is this playing out for Republicans?
Well, another issue with the Speaker is the opposition he has in his own leadership ranks. There are some very ambitious members there. They call themselves the Young Guns, of which is the Majority Leader Eric Cantor. Now, this idea of cutting, of offsetting all emergency funding, that was an Eric Cantor idea, and it didn't play well. You'll notice even in the bill that was voted on yesterday, not all emergency funding was offset, just the funding for the current fiscal year, not the 2012 funding. And I think the vote yesterday is even more a repudiation of his position, with all but two states currently under some sort of state of emergency because of natural disasters, floods, fires, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes. It's an odd time to draw the line on disaster relief when so many Americans are suffering. But that's not on Boehner's head right now. It's on the majority leader's.
That's Eric Cantor. Well, and we read today about schools in Vermont towns holding classes with kids bundled in blankets and tents. And there's the mall school for kids in Joplin, Missouri, which was hit by a tornado. In flooded Paterson, New Jersey, trash still is lining the streets. So what happens now? We're told FEMA money literally will run out. So is there a sense that this bill will be rewritten, that the funding for emergency cars will be taken out? What do you think happens?
What I'm hearing is that it may be a smaller fix than that. They can't at this point rewrite the whole thing. It's been scored. You know, that takes weeks. There are a lot of issues there. I think the question, and Senator Charles Schumer yesterday said it, I think, pretty straightforwardly. He said that the simplest fix is to strip away those FEMA disaster relief offsets, perhaps adopt the Senate model. There'll still be a struggle with the Senate over this. But it's not going to take much to bring those Democrats back. They objected to that single offset for loans for fuel-efficient technologies. Get rid of that, and I think you have a flood of Democrats that come back on this bill just as they said they would.
Gail Chadwick, congressional correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. Thanks, as always.
You're welcome.